Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways, exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans, now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN. 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
Yes, it is that time of the week. Time to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD, presented by Crane Works and Rental Works, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit CraneWorks.com. TD, setting the tone for you this morning. Good morning. How we doing?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Nick is on it, man. Got the music ready to go. The tone is set. Let's do it.
So, TD, you know, obviously we've talked a lot about this offensive line this year, but what may be out there tomorrow? And, you know, a couple of guys are questionable. We know Ben Jones is out. We know Nate Davis is out. What may be out there tomorrow could be one of the most makeshift offensive lines that I've seen in my time watching the Titans, which dates back to the moment they got here. As you look at this game, as you look at that offensive line specifically, can you remember anything quite like this in your time covering the NFL? And what do you make of what the Titans may be challenged with on the offensive line tomorrow against Houston?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be challenged with a lot. And what they're dealing with is it's pretty unique. So I'm not going to say I've seen it before because, you know, they're tracking right along pace with last year. You know, they used 80 different players this year. Last year it was 91. So when you look at that, you look at the good chance that Daniel Munier plays, I think, you know, that makes it just more of that record-setting type of pace that they're on. So it's going to be tough, man. Malik Willis is going to have to progress through a lot quicker. And when I say a lot quicker, I'm saying because he's going to probably not have a lot of time to do it. So it's going to be a tough task for him.
Yeah. So what is your guess right now, TD? I know we don't know with several of these guys in terms of the questionable designations, but if you're guessing right now, left to right, the offensive line tomorrow looks like what?
Yeah, I would say Dennis Daly, man, out of center. You know, I think they switch it up. I think they go Dennis Daly, Aaron Brewer, Corey Levin, Jordan Roos, and Petit Ferrer. I think they go that way, but, you know, it could also end up being, you know, Daniel Munier in there. So it could work that way also.
TD, from the Malik Willis standpoint, I mean, obviously he's had to play more this year than probably anybody anticipated or thought heading into the year. What are you most looking forward to seeing from him tomorrow in terms of trying to gauge how much progress he's made to this point?
Well, I think this is a good opportunity for him. And the thing that I like is the fact that he's going to face a team that he's faced before. So that should help. I think he is a lot different from the quarterback we saw when those teams first played. I'm looking forward to seeing if they do increase the pass attempts for him and, you know, build on that series that he had last week, whereas he did progress through and he was comfortable and he made, you know, some good decisions there to get some first downs. So I want to see that, right? And I want to see, you know, hopefully Treylon Burks is active, you know, and able to go, clearing concussion protocol. I know they had a little bit more that they had to see in order to have him, you know, pass that test, so to speak. So we'd like to see him get the ball to Burks. Like to see him get the ball to Chega Conquo, you know, who was his roommate, you know, during training camp. I want to see those things happen because it's a good opportunity to see what could be the future of this offense.
So, TD, the Jags winning last night, we were just talking about it. I mean, I guess I'd put it around 99% that it's not technically over, but we basically know it's Titans-Jags for the division. The winner's going to win the division and host the playoff game. The loser's going to be out of the playoffs. I mean, the only way that doesn't happen is the two Titans wins and somehow the Jags on extra rest lose to the Texans. So given that new information last night, and I know we had a discussion about the question about resting guys, you know, Monday with that question from Sam Phelan. But if you were Mike Vrabel now, knowing that, are you going to lean toward maybe sitting a couple guys who, you know, really could be 50-50? Just be no? You're going full bore, whoever can play can play.
No, listen, man, this team has lost four games in a row. You were in that locker room after the game on Sunday. The locker room during the week was better, but this team needs a win. I get the math, the algorithms and everything puts everything on the game, you know, to end the season finale against Jacksonville, but this team needs a win. And you still, with two wins and a Jaguars loss, as you mentioned, you still could clinch that way. I would not rush the guys because they need a win, man. You could feel it, how desperate they are just to get a W. So you put your best foot forward. You put yourself in the best situation to get that win that you need. And again, you know, when Mike Vrabel said that team was at a crossroads, he was talking about going into the playoffs, playing good football, their best football. I don't know that you could do that if you rest your guys. So they need to win on Sunday.
Teron Davenport with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So TD, you know, obviously neither the Titans nor the Texans have all that much experience in playing in a ton of cold weather. You don't see weather like this really at all ever here in Nashville, but certainly going to be a cold one at Nissan Stadium coming up tomorrow. Yeah. How much of an impact do you think the weather could have on this game, and who do you think that favors?
You know, I don't think it favors anyone, and, you know, that's the thing. Both teams have to be out there in it. Like, it's not like it's going to be, you know, 10 degrees on Houston's side and 15 on the Titans' side. So when you look at that, right, Derrick Henry, he's done what he's done against the Texans, right? Four 200-yard games consecutive. No one else has had four consecutive 200-yard games against a team other than Derrick Henry. So I think if anything, it plays into what the Titans want to do as far as running the football, but they're going to have to put some play action into it. And, you know, you look at play action, you look at RPOs, you look at those type of things. You got to maximize what it is Malik Willis does well. So those are the type of things that will work in the cold weather, so to speak, you know, because it's high percentage throws. It's getting a guy like Treylon Burks, who's a physical football player, the football and letting him run through tackles. You see what a Cowboy could do as well. So I think play action of those guys is something that I would work to do.
So, TD, I heard you and Jared and the TD Power were talking about Todd Downing. I thought it was a really good discussion. I also feel like for Todd Downing, I think this is an opportunity I feel like previously when Malik Willis started those two games, it was still, you know, it was the Titans offense and it was a different quarterback in there. And they were trying to, you know, obviously do different things. There was some stuff that they weren't doing that they would have done with Tannehill. But I feel like now with the Tannehill situation, you need to morph it more to him, right? And you need to
– Yeah.
Yeah, as you said, people want creativity, and then they want predictability when the creativity doesn't work. I mean, right now he's kind of in a can't-win situation with fans. But just how much of an opportunity is this for him, and do you think he's up for this? And do you think that we will see tomorrow an offense that looks different because it is Malik's show probably for the rest of the way?
Yeah, I don't know that we'll see an offense that looks different. I think that you know, a lot of the things that they've done in the past with Tannehill will work with Willis. It's just a matter of Willis hitting that comfort level. And from what Todd Downing said, from what Willis has said, from what Mike Vrabel has said, he's getting there. So as far as Todd Downing being up for the challenge, I absolutely believe he's up for the challenge. And that's one guy that, despite, you know, all the stuff that he's gone through, you know, he has a lot of respect from the the players, you know, and they appreciate the work that he puts in. And obviously offensively they're not showing the results, but I think that he will do a good job of bringing Willis, you know, to the forefront, right? And not exactly using a different offense, but using plays in that offense that already exists that will showcase Willis's talent. And one of them, you actually saw it, you know, when he was in the game last week. You know, you had the jet sweep, the fake jet sweep handoff. Actually, not last week. You saw it in the first Texans game. You know, it was Derrick Henry's 41-yard run, and Robert Woods went in motion, and they faked the jet sweep, and they gave it to Derrick Henry, and, you know, he cut it back, and it was a 41-yard run. Now, maybe in something like that, you tag part of that with a slant by the receiver, right, and have him, you know, an RPO look. So it gives him three options, actually four, right, to hand it off to Henry, hand it off to Woods, throw it to whoever the receiver is on the slant, or run it himself, because a lot of times you see when Derrick Henry gets the football, the whole defense devotes themselves to that, and there's a pretty nice degree of open space there for the quarterback to run. So I think those are some of the things that, you know, they could do that's already in the playbook.
Well, TD, we're looking forward to the game tomorrow. Thanks for taking time to be with us today. Merry Christmas to you and your family, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, thanks, man. Merry Christmas to you guys. And I apologize for my voice, man. I'm fighting this cold this morning, but hey, we made it work.
No, we always make it work. You always make it work. Appreciate you, my man.
All right, take care.
Teron Davenport presented by Crane Works and Rental Works, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit craneworks.com. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans and the Texans. Open up our phone line at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win great prizes. You can play now at thegamenashville.com or the Game Nashville app. Silly underdog picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Keys are here with you on this Friday morning, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. Thanks to Teron Davenport for joining us in the last segment. We'll be joined by the legendary John McClain from GallerySports.com coming up at 9 o'clock. So looking forward to that conversation with him. Joe, I want to ask you the same question that I asked TD in the last segment. Malik Willis getting in there tomorrow. What are you looking forward to seeing from him? I mean, obviously we know what the situation's like around him. He's got an offensive line that, you know, at best is going to be severely banged up. At worst could be just totally eviscerated out there with the way that offensive line could be constructed tomorrow. We know the circumstances that are around the rest of the roster, specifically with Willis. What are you looking forward to seeing out of Malik Willis as he makes what will be his third career start coming up tomorrow?
Well, I think TD did a good job as always of kind of laying out like what you do differently. I do think, yeah, it may be within the offense, but I think it should look different. I think that plays like he just described there, where you have different options. I mean, look, RPO is definitely something he did a lot at Liberty, and I think some of those plays should be part of it. A lot of things that include him as a threat running the football, I think has to be part of this. You gotta try to take advantage of what you know he does well, and you gotta do everything you can to help whatever this offensive line is going to look like. I think straight up, because the Texans are playing well up front. You know, maybe they're just destined to give up 200 yards to Derrick Henry no matter what else is part of the game. But I have my doubts, you know, that it's going to look like it did the first time around. So to me, you got to give them as much misdirection, as many things to think about as you can. And Malik Willis as a runner has got to be a big part of it. But also from him, you just want to see more confidence, decisiveness. You have to be able to use the middle of the field some, you know, in the passing game. And I think it's ball out fast a lot. I think it's boots and things like that. And you're certainly, I think, going to see, you know, the fades on the sideline. And obviously, you need him to hit some of those plays, but there's going to be some times where, I mean, if you're sitting there in third and nine, and it's you're down in the fourth quarter, and you're dry, like at some point, it's like you just got to be able to drop back, hope the protection holds, and hope that he can, diagnose pre-snap, diagnose post-snap, and rip it and make some big throws. Like you can't. At some point, you can't. Can't run and hide from that in the NFL, and I think the Titans are going to be in a dogfight tomorrow, and so Malik Willis is a great opportunity for him, and it's a really interesting glimpse into what the future might be. I think not just tomorrow, but the rest of the season.
Joe, it sounded like TD wanted no part of the idea of maybe resting players and getting them ready for the Jacksonville game if they're questionable.
Well, again, I'm not saying rest guys. I'm just saying if you're not sure and it's like, ooh, it might make him worse for next week. It might be detrimental, but he could probably go today. I just wouldn't look at tomorrow like I would look at a playoff game.
Sure.
I mean, yes, I agree with him. Like they badly need a win. They badly need a win. But I still. Like, here's the question. Put it to you this way. Would you rather be going into Jacksonville on a six-game losing streak with a healthier team or, you've lost 5 of 6, you did stop the bleeding against the Texans, but you're more banged up for the Jacksonville game? To me, that's an easy answer.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. And especially now that the equation has changed and we know – pretty much know that it's probably going to be for the division in Jacksonville coming up. I mean, like I said, you need to be as healthy as possible for that game. Now, again, you're probably not going to have your starting quarterback in Ryan Tannehill. I mean, you're not going to have your starting quarterback in Ryan Tannehill for that game. So, you need Malik Willis to be able to play as well as he can. You need the confidence to be there for Malik Willis, and you need to have as many guys around him that up their game and are able to play and help him offensively. Like defensively, this is a really interesting time too, because they kind of got back on track defensively this past week. And there's nobody on the Texans offense in all seriousness that really scares you all that much. So the Titans are going to need a good defensive performance tomorrow. Like I would not be surprised if tomorrow's game is 13-10 as the final score. So you need to make sure you're on the winning side of that, but defensively kind of getting healthy on that side of the ball too. Like I'll be honest with you, I'm pretty concerned about Christian Fulton at this point. And I know that he's had the hamstring all year, and now he's dealing with the groin injury. But, like, he's been out a good while now. And when he's not been out, a lot of things have been bothering him. And I think when he's been on the field this year and has been healthy, he's played some good football for the Titans for the most part. I'm pretty concerned about him and what either his availability or his effectiveness is going to look like for the Titans the rest of the year, because they need him back out there.
No, it's a big, it's a big problem, a big picture with him. He's been hurt a lot in his career, and it's not getting better. So that's really concerning. But the short term, is there any way to get him back for Jacksonville? That would be massive. And I agree with you on the defense. Look, lost in the terrible news, and there's all kinds of terrible news. DeNico Autry has no injury designation. He was a full participant the last 2 days. He's back.
Yep.
Andrew Adams is going to be fine and play. Simmons was a full participant yesterday. Maybe he's getting a little better. So if you have a little bit better Simmons plus Autry playing, what does that mean for you? It's a bad deal that Terrence Mitchell's on IR, but I still feel like Traylon Burks, I think he's going to play. I mean, basically, it's just we don't have the confirmation yet with the concussion protocol, but he's full participant. And I think Trey Avery's going to be back. And that's a big deal. That's a big deal for this defense to get him back. I think there's enough there on defense, and especially if you think Autry's going to come in and you're going to see that Autry bump that we obviously saw his absence. I'm with you. This defense, you have no Damian Pierce over there. Nico Collins is out in this game on the outside. Now, Brandon Cooks is questionable. He was a full participant, so I'm guessing he's going to play. But you know, this defense should win tomorrow. This defense should play winning football tomorrow and be right there. And then it's, so then if that's the case, if it's going to be what you said and you're going to hold them like under 20, around 20 or less, I still feel like if you, you know, with Derrick Henry, with good planning, with Burks coming back, even with whatever the heck is on that offensive line, I still feel like you got a fighting chance to score enough points to win this game. And yes, I'm sitting here talking about a fighting chance to beat the 1-12-1 Texans, but that is where we are.
That is where we are. We'll have more of your thoughts on the Titans and Texans coming up next. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Make sure you tune in for the NFL pregame tomorrow, live from Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge, located at 1322 6th Avenue North in Germantown. Join Jared Stillman and former Titans wide receivers Chris Sanders and Derek Mason from 9:30 to 11:30 prior to the Titans taking on the Houston Texans. NFL pregame brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in to tomorrow's NFL Game of the Week on 94.9 The Fan. This week's game will feature the Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Dallas Cowboys at 3:25. NFL Game of the Week brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Looking ahead to the Titans and Texans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Will from Nashville on the text line says, "Guys, y'all know I've been pessimistic about the Titans' chances to make the playoffs for a while with all the injuries. However, it's obviously still possible. So here's the question. Better chance of beating that red hot Jags team in Jacksonville or beating both the Texans and probably not altogether a super inspired Cowboys team with nothing really to play for? I say the latter. As such, have to give it everything to try to win these games. Obviously, if they beat the Texans, they'll be highly motivated to beat the Cowboys. I just don't like their chances in a Week 18 showdown." This from Will from Nashville on the text line.
Okay, Will. So let's say they do that. Tell me your percentage chance that the Jags with extra rest lose to the Texans, because that also has to happen.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying you're not trying to win, but I'm not saying rest anyone. You're not resting anyone, okay? But am I saying that if there's someone who's right on that borderline, and if this was the absolute end last game of all time, they'd go out there and drag themselves out there and play? But you know, it'd probably be better for them. And in a couple weeks, they could be a lot healthier if they don't play. That person, I'm not playing tomorrow. That's just me. And it would never be under the guise of, we're going to rest you. It's going to be like, I just don't think you're healthy enough to go. But keeping in mind that, like, if you get more hurt, which based on the history of this team, you got a pretty good chance of doing so.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what let yourself get beaten to a pulp and then to no avail, because it's such a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage chance that you're going to clinch the division now, then you just hurt yourself in the only game that really realistically is going to matter the rest of the season.
Liam on the text line says, "Maybe I'm crazy, but I love the improvements I see in Malik every time he steps on the field. I'm bullish on his future and excited to see what he can do." This from Liam on the text line. And a nice, refreshing change of pace on the text line. I enjoy it.
Well, see, Liam, if you could be a caller to the Stilly and Pauly show, you'd get into a heated debate. The two folks in this market who I think are most down on Malik Willis. I did think that he had some nice decisive throws when he got forced into action at LA Sunday. So we'll see. You know, I think you and I are on the same page, Robbie. Like, I'm keeping an open mind. I'm not surprised by what we've seen. I'm not surprised based on the draft evaluation of him and everything we knew about him coming out of Liberty that we've seen what we've seen. You see talent and potential, and you see a long way to go to be a good starter in the NFL. I mean, I think it's right within the realm, the range of expectations, that this is an opportunity. You don't want him to have this opportunity, If the best case scenario is that he never plays a snap this whole season, but this is what it is. So this is a chance for him to fast forward things a little bit.
Joe, we've gotten a few questions today on the text line about the crowd for tomorrow and what we think it's going to look like. And I'll be honest with you, like, honestly, I don't know. I mean, it is Christmas Eve. There are a lot of people that like to spend their Christmas Eve, Christmas, going to football games, hanging out together, got family in town, maybe going to the games together. But it is really cold. We've seen what the weather looks like this morning. It's a team that just had their starting quarterback that's going to be out for the rest of the regular season. And the injuries, the way this team has played lately, you've lost four games in a row. I mean, I'm really interested to see what it's going to look like. I think I said earlier on the text line, like, I wouldn't be surprised if it's only like 65% full. But to be honest with you, I have no idea what it's going to look like tomorrow. The prices would suggest to me that maybe not a lot of people are going to be there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because I think it's a perfect – I think for a lot of people, it's like Christmas Eve. You know, you have a morning, go out, little tailgate, football game. Then you can do church, you can do dinner, you can do opening gifts. Like, it works out perfectly. If conditions were normal, I think it'd be a great crowd. Someone on the text line asked about 15,000. I guessed 45,000 butts in seats tomorrow. Maybe I'm being like too optimistic on that. I mean, I think for the most part, they've been beyond 60,000 butts in seats for every game this year, and a lot of games pretty much full. Like you said, there's all the. It's going to be how much I do have heard from a lot of people who are like, yeah, it's just too cold. Like, I just can't do it. It's just too cold. And like you said, prices on the secondary markets usually give you an idea. But is it possible there's a lot of people who are like, hey, here's a chance to get good seats to a Titans game for really cheap. And you know what? Double glove it, long underwear, peach schnapps, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be really interesting. I think it'll be at least half full.
Oh yeah. Like I would be surprised if it's not at least half full. Like, you know, like you said, there are people that you could get tickets pretty cheap. You could go to the game. I mean, it's nobody's working the next day. I mean, I think it'll be at least half full. I mean, look, how many times do you have the opportunity to go to the frozen tundra of Nissan Stadium? Not very often, Joe. I mean, these type of games don't happen very much. So my official guess, I will say 50,000 butts and seats. That's what I'm going with.
Okay. That'd be really good. I'll stick with 45. I'll stick with 45. And of course we're not going to have an exact count, but you have a pretty good idea once it kicks off. And it looks like it is going to be the coldest. Certainly, I think it's easily going to be the coldest game in Nissan Stadium, or that stadium, whatever it's been called, history. It has a chance based on the stats. Well, it's not going to be the coldest game ever, which I covered, by the way, in Kansas City. And I still can't believe that was supposed to be a temperature of 1 and a wind chill of -9. That is absolutely false. That was way worse than that. But this has a chance to be, and I'm talking franchise history, including Oilers, for example. One of the number three on the list is 1977 against at Cleveland, okay?
Yeah.
With a wind chill of -7. Like, this has a chance to definitely be top five all-time coldest games in the history of the Oilers-Titans franchise tomorrow. So that alone, you have a chance to be part of history, which sounds great as long as you don't get frostbite.
Yeah, Joe, this is the coldest game that we will ever have ever since 1996, from what I saw. It's the coldest day since 96 today, and I wasn't even thought of at that point, just so you guys know.
Well, God, that makes me feel old.
I hope you feel old, Robbie.
Yeah, I do. Good gracious.
You remember that? You were like 4 years old. You remember that day, Robbie?
I was exactly 4 years old. I don't remember that day, but I'm glad I don't. And I'm glad it hasn't happened since 96. Hopefully it'll be another, 30 years before it happens this time around too.
I mean, this is absurd. I got a text on my personal text. I think you mentioned this. Was it Christmas against the Cowboys?
That was cold.
That was, and that's tied for fourth. But you know, still, you're talking a balmy 29 degrees. The wind chill was 14. So that was in the year 2000, Christmas Day of 2000. That will seem tropical compared to tomorrow.
Yes. Yes, it will. 615-737-1025. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. Santa Charles Barkley coming to town, and he's delivering $20 million in gifts this holiday season to all FanDuel customers, and it doesn't matter if you've been naughty or nice. St. Chuck has something for everyone. Just check your FanDuel app for no-sweat same-game parlays, bonuses, and all sorts of stuff that'll fill you with holiday cheer. If you're new to FanDuel, now is the perfect time to sign up, and remember to use promo code Rob. The app is so easy to use. They're always hooking you up with great promotions. And when you win, you'll get paid instantly. The Titans and the Texans taking place at Nissan Stadium tomorrow. I'll go Derrick Henry as an anytime touchdown scorer, and I will take the under in the game. But you can take it any way you want to take it. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sports book, and get in the holiday spirit with $20 million in gifts from Santa Barkley. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Price total dependent on customer participation. Wager requirements apply. Gifts awarded is non-withdrawable site credit or free bets. See FanDuel.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. The Preds in action tonight, taking on the Colorado Avalanche. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. 1025. The first caller, if you guess the goal scored tonight for the Predators, will win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click.
And a shot at a score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
Little give and go.
Shoot your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. 615-737-1025 now. Pick to Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they are preferred so often. And by Superbook Sports, voted number one sports book in Vegas. Download their app today. It's Pick to Click now on Robbie and Rex Road.
And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. The Preds back in action today at Bridgestone Arena, taking on the Colorado Avalanche. And Joe, the standings in Preds Pick to Click getting very interesting in the competition. The listeners have retaken the lead with their performance last time out. 7 correct answers for the listeners. Joe Rex Road and myself now tied with 6 correct answers. And Michelle Knezovic has moved up to 5 correct answers. So the last game, everybody collecting a point in Preds Pick to Click, other than Joe Rexroad. Rexroad, your response to a very close standings update in Preds Pick to Click.
Yeah, I mean, you tricked me into getting like the first pick when it was the worst time to get it. So it's just the usual thing.
Thank you very
Somehow
much.
Somehow I'm still right in this competition against all odds.
Yes, yes, you are. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in April. April, thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
I'm going to go with Roman Josi.
Roman Josi, the selection. April, thanks so much for calling in. Merry Christmas.
Sure, you too.
Absolutely. Roman Josi off the board. April, going with Roman Josi in the competition. Nick Kieser, you are selecting for Michelle Knezovic today. Josi is off the board. Your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
Oh, man. So tonight we got a matchup against the Colorado Avalanche. And I don't really, like, I know I've been listening to you guys make these picks. They're hard because, you know, it's kind of hard to see exactly who's going to break through for them. I tell you what. I'm gonna go with Mikhail Granlund tonight, guys. I think he's gonna find the back of the net. He doesn't score too often, but I think he's gonna find the back of the net, and it's gonna be a good one.
Gonna go with Mikhail Granlund in the competition. So Josi and Granlund off the board. I am up next. I'm gonna go with Duchesne. He's been on a little bit of a heater lately. He scored 3 games in a row, so I will go with Matt Duchesne in this competition for tonight against his former team. Josi, Granlund, Duchesne off the board. Joe Rexroad, the final pick in today's edition of Preds Pick to Click.
I mean, seriously, how often has this happened? If Forsberg is sitting there with the last pick.
I know, not very often. Not playing very well.
Don't do it, Joe.
That's the thing. I'm not sure I'm taking him.
Take Cole Smith. Do it.
I have taken Cole Smith before, by the way.
You have.
Or nobody.
I think that they've gotten to the point now where you can count on them scoring a goal or two. I'll take Forsberg.
Wow. Some reluctance on the part of Joe Rexrode, but Philip Forsberg, the selection. Yossi, Granlund, Duchesne, and Forsberg, the selections in Preds Pick to Click. Presented by TJ Anderson Holmes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. So the Preds taking on the Colorado Avalanche tonight. And Colorado is still a team, Joe, that's dealing with a lot of injuries. And yet, they found a way to keep their head above water. Right now, they're in the first wild card spot, but they're 2 points behind Minnesota in the division. And Landeskog's been out. Nathan McKinnon's been out. They've had a whole laundry list of injuries so far this year. And they've still been able to kind of keep their head above water here. It's a big one tonight for the Preds. Like, I actually thought last week in Colorado, Joe, they played okay. Like, I thought the Predators were okay in that game, and they just could not finish on some of the chances they got offensively. Really, since that game, they have finished on the chances that they've gotten offensively. Can you carry that forward tonight at home? You've said it. I agree with it. It was great to beat Edmonton. You needed to beat Chicago. You had to beat Chicago. Now, can you win at least one of these next two against Colorado or Dallas? Both of them at home. So you need to come away with at least two of the four next points.
Yeah, and beating Colorado still means something. I mean, they're not what they're going to be when they get everybody back, obviously. When they get it together, and to me, they've had the classic post-cup hangover plus the injuries.
Yep.
They're ultimately going to be right there, I think. But this would be a big win. And the Preds, you know, they have some signs of life a little bit on the power play, but certainly 5-on-5, we've talked about it. John Hines, and we had Todd Richards, I thought, had some really interesting comments yesterday on our show about what they've done to try to, you know, get more speed going through the neutral zone. They're actually finishing some plays now. So, you know, can they maintain that tonight? And they've been getting good goaltending. Now you have McDonough back in the lineup. You know, there's a chance to keep positive momentum going.
What about Cody Glass? I mean, we've talked a lot about him this week, but another opportunity for him tonight to kind of continue to embrace the role that he's been given offensively. I mean, he's been dishing the puck really well the last couple of games. Can he continue to do that tonight? But I'm interested, like, long-term with him. Like, if he can continue to play this way, and if maybe they've found something there and something has clicked with Cody Glass, what would that do not only for this team in terms of him and the role that he would play, but everybody else, like with Johansson and the role that he has, with Granlund, maybe moving him to wing on a permanent basis? Like, what would the emergence of Cody Glass, if he can keep this up, what sort of ripple effect does that have on the rest of the lineup?
Well, it'd be big. And obviously he also has to finish some opportunities too, you know, yep. But I look, I mean, the fact that I thought that was probably the most interesting thing said, it may have been your question Monday, but when John Hines went into, or maybe it was Alex Doherty, but regardless, the Cody Glass kind of story arc this season, Hines kind of explaining why he kind of fell out of favor, then he got this opportunity to basically play all night against that McDavid line, and he did really well. So what does that mean? I mean, I hesitate with anything, with anyone in this lineup to say, all right, well, that's what it is now. And,
yeah,
you know, you can count on that. There's just been so much rising and falling and switching and shuffling that it's hard to feel like anything is locked in. But that would be a big deal if he could get locked into a key role in this team. I mean, just like you said, it could help the rest of the lineup kind of sort itself out and get some consistency. And also they need more of the young players doing well and being on a positive trajectory than they do what they've had too much of this year, which is guys falling out of favor and in some cases going to other teams.
By the way, it was my question, Capital J Journalism, following in the footsteps of Joe Rexrode. Just want to make that clear.
Nice. Well, it's too bad, you know, we didn't get Cody Glass, but you could have said, you know, Cody, we haven't had any reason to talk to you all year, but let's
really could have gone after it.
By the way, I don't know, did you see Jenna Linea's apology?
I did.
I thought it was like, frankly, I thought that was too much of an apology. I mean, good for her, but it's like, it wasn't that bad. The Greg Allman is who we figured out asked or said, like, what have you done all year? That he apologized for that too. And that deserved an apology.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I would say so.
Nick, I think it's, these things get so exaggerated on social media, but anyway, go ahead.
Well, social media is a wonderful place, as we know. Nick, your thoughts on the Preds and the Avalanche tonight?
Well, first off, thanks for letting me do Preds Insiders earlier this week, Robbie.
Of course, you did a great job.
Didn't get to let you know, but yeah, thanks. But thinking about how they should approach this game tonight, I mean, they have nothing to lose. I mean, obviously, like nobody does right now. But the reason I say that is this is a team that is itching to still find its identity for the season. I know we had Elliot Friedman on yesterday, and one thing that he pointed out that stuck with me leaving that conversation was he said last year they were a team that was physical enough to do it almost every night. And now we have a situation where the Predators aren't doing that as often. And we're not a soft team, I would say, by any stretch of the imagination, but the Predators do need to put the body on more often. One thing I pay attention to every game, a little stat that I've learned more about is Fenwick and Corsi and all that stuff. So it's been kind of an interesting season just looking at stats and whatnot. But the Predators are very hot and cold in terms of generating chances. And the best player to do that here as of late is Cody Glass. So putting him on the second line, in my opinion, is the best thing for Coach John Hines. He's becoming more of that sixth overall pick that we've been waiting for. So I'm curious to see just how important he becomes down the stretch for the Preds. Obviously, we acquired him in that trade with Ryan Ellis, you know, RIP to his career. I don't know if he's going to keep playing or not, but I honestly think it's going to rely a lot more on defense tonight than offense. I think the offense is rolling very heavily, and I think our picks to click kind of show that because we're kind of going all over the place now. In terms of who we think could light the lamp. So I don't know. I think the Preds have a great chance to put a stamp on who they are to end the calendar year against the Colorado Avalanche. And before they go out to Anaheim and Vegas, this would be a very, very awesome win to see.
Joe, real quickly, a guy that you start to wonder about where his confidence level's at. Tanner Jeannot has not scored a goal since October 27th. That's the last time Tanner Jeannot scored a goal, and it's almost Christmas. Now, he's had some good looks. Even this week, he's had some good looks.
Oh, yeah.
Edmonton game, I think he hit a couple of posts in that game, but he's not scored since October the 27th. He really needs one to go in for him.
Yeah, no, he's had some real opportunities, and yeah, you know how it goes. I mean, it was like Duchene a couple years ago, right, where – there were some stretches with some actually opportunities and just however it works out, you get into a bad stretch and it can really get inside your head. But yeah, he needs it badly. They need him to figure it out. I mean, like you said earlier in the show, Trenton too. I mean, those guys were such a big part of last year's team, exceeding expectations for most of the year. And they're it's still, to me, a more important sight would be for Philip Forsberg to have about a month of a heater. You know, starting tonight would be good timing, by the way, Phil. But that secondary scoring also has to come along, and Jeannot's top of the list.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by John McClain from GallerySports.com. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the Texans and take a look at some big picture issues around the NFL as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.